To a group of Messianic Jews, Hebrews. In days gone by, God spoke in many and varied ways to the fathers through the prophets. But now, in the Acharit Hayamim, He has spoken to us through His Son, to whom He has given ownership of everything, and through whom He created the universe. This Son is the radiance of the Shekhinah, the very expression of God's essence, upholding all that exists by His powerful word. And after He had, through Himself, made purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of Hagdullah Bamromim. So He has become much better than angels, and the name God has given Him is superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son. Today I have become your father"? Also, God never said of any angel, "I will be his father, and he will be my son." And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." Indeed, when speaking of angels, he says, "Who makes his angels winds, and his servants fiery flames." But to the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. You rule your kingdom with a scepter of equity. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, O God, your God has anointed you with the oil of joy in preference to your companions." And, "In the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth. Heaven is the work of your hands. They will vanish, but you will remain. Like clothing, they will all grow old, and you will fold them up like a coat. Yes, they will be changed like clothing, but you remain the same. Your years will never end." Moreover, to which of the angels has he ever said, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet"? Aren't they all merely spirits who serve, sent out to help those whom God will deliver? Therefore, we must pay much more careful heed to the things we have heard, so that we will not drift away. For if the word God spoke through angels became binding, so that every violation and act of disobedience received its just deserts in full measure, then how will we escape if we ignore such a great deliverance? This deliverance, which was first declared by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him, while God also bore witness to it with various signs, wonders, and miracles, and with gifts of the Ruach HaKodesh, which he distributed as he chose. For it was not to angels that God subjected the Olam Haba, which is what we are talking about. And there is a place where someone has given this solemn testimony: "What is mere man that you concern yourself with him? Or the son of man that you watch over him with such care? You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor. You put everything in subjection under his feet. In subjecting everything to him, he left nothing unsubjected to him. However, at present, we don't see everything subjected to him. At least, not yet. But we do see Yeshua, who indeed was made for a little while lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor, because he suffered death, so that by God's grace he might taste death for all humanity. For in bringing many sons to glory, it was only fitting that God, the Creator and Preserver of everything, should bring the initiator of their deliverance to the goal through sufferings. For both Yeshua, who sets people apart for God, and the ones being set apart have a common origin. This is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers when he says, I will proclaim your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. Also, I will put my trust in him. And then it goes on. Here I am, along with the children God has given me. Therefore, since the children share a common physical nature as human beings, he became like them and shared that same human nature, so that by his death he might render ineffective the one who had power over death, that is, the adversary, and thus set free those who had been in bondage all their lives because of their fear of death. Indeed, it is obvious that he does not take hold of angels to help them. On the contrary, he takes hold of the seed of Abraham. This is why he had to become like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful Kohen Gadol in the service of God, making a kapara for the sins of the people. For since he himself suffered death when he was put to the test, he is able to help those who are being tested now. Therefore, brothers, whom God has set apart, who share in the call from heaven, think carefully about Yeshua, whom we acknowledge publicly as God's emissary, and as Kohen Gadol. He was faithful to God, who appointed him, just as Moshe was faithful in all God's house. But Yeshua deserves more honor than Moshe, just as the builder of the house deserves more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but the one who built everything is God. Also, Moshe was faithful in all God's house, as a servant giving witness to things God would divulge later. But the Messiah, as son, was faithful over God's house. And we are that house of his, provided we hold firmly to the courage and confidence inspired by what we hope for. Therefore, as the Ruach HaKodesh says, today, if you hear God's voice, don't harden your hearts as you did in the bitter quarrel on that day in the wilderness when you put God to the test. Yes, your fathers put me to the test. They challenged me, and they saw my work for 40 years. Therefore, I was disgusted with that generation. I said, their hearts are always going astray. They have not understood how I do things, and in my anger, I swore that they would not enter my rest. Watch out, brothers, so that there will not be in any one of you an evil heart lacking trust, which could lead you to apostatize from the living God. Instead, keep exhorting each other every day, as long as it is called today, so that none of you will become hardened by the deceit of sin. For we have become sharers in the Messiah, provided, however, that we hold firmly to the conviction we began with, right through until the goal is reached. Now, where it says, today, if you hear God's voice, don't harden your hearts as you did in the bitter quarrel. Who were the people who, after they heard, quarreled so bitterly? All those whom Moshe brought out of Egypt, and with whom was God disgusted for 40 years. Those who sinned, yes, they fell dead in the wilderness. And to whom was it that he swore that they would not enter his rest? Those who were disobedient. So we see that they were unable to enter because of lack of trust. Therefore, let us be terrified of the possibility that even though the promise of entering his rest remains, any one of you might be judged to have fallen short of it. For good news has also been proclaimed to us, just as it was to them. But the message they heard didn't do them any good, because those who heard it did not combine it with trust. For it is we who have trusted who enter the rest. It is just as he said, And in my anger I swore that they would not enter my rest. He swore this even though his works have been in existence since the founding of the universe. For there is a place where it is said concerning the seventh day, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And once more, our present text says, They will not enter my rest. Therefore, since it still remains for some to enter it, and those who received the good news earlier did not enter, he again fixes a certain day. Today, saying through David, so long afterwards, in the text already given, Today, if you hear God's voice, don't harden your hearts. For if Yehoshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later of another day. So there remains a Shabbat keeping for God's people. For the one who has entered God's rest has also rested from his own works, as God did from his. Therefore, let us do our best to enter that rest, so that no one will fall short because of the same kind of disobedience. See, the word of God is alive. It is at work and is sharper than any double-edged sword. It cuts right through to where the soul meets spirit and joints meet marrow. And it is quick to judge the inner reflections and attitudes of the heart. Before God, nothing created is hidden, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must render an account. Therefore, since we have a great Kohen Gadol who has passed through to the highest heaven, Yeshua, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we acknowledge as true. For we do not have a Kohen Gadol unable to empathize with our weaknesses, since in every respect he was tempted just as we were, the only difference being that he did not sin. Therefore, let us confidently approach the throne from which God gives grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace in our time of need.